Welcome to Comedy Wham Presents. I'm your host, Laura Smith. ComedyWham.com is your place to go for all Austin comedy. Comedy Wham Presents is how we bring you glimpses into the lives of comedians in and around Austin. Today, I take a slight departure from that recipe, and I bring you a glimpse into fandom at its best. My guests today are the Watts sisters. Maybe you've seen them around town, maybe you've seen them out of town, maybe you've seen them overseas. These two ladies have traveled near and far to see some of Austin and beyond's best comedy, and I have been aching to interview them ever since I found out about them. So, Comedy Wham presents the Watts sisters. Welcome Leslie and Bethany Watts. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
Doing well. It is so awkward reading about people in front of them. Thanks for sitting down with us.
Thank you for having us. This is amazing. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, we'll do a voice check. Who's who, so everyone knows.
I'm Leslie Watts.
I am Bethany.
Okay. And I'm going to do an icebreaker question. We'll start with Leslie.
Okay.
One word to describe your past.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. That's so tough. I would say interesting is all I can think of.
Okay.
Interesting.
That's okay. Yeah. Same question, Bethany.
Gosh. I would have to say varied is probably the best word.
All right.
My past. Like, I've got an interesting story, so with lots of different dynamics to it.
So, ladies, it's funny to me, the first time that I had seen you guys around at Punch and other shows, but the first time I had ever, been clued into you is I was talking to Lisa, who is over the Paramount and, you know, part of the brains behind Moon Tower Comedy Festival, and she, you know, we were talking at one of the, the pre-parties or whatever for mm-hmm. Moon Tower, and we were on this rooftop, and she's like, have you met the sisters yet? And I'm like, what? And I'm thinking, every time, where I'm from, every time someone says the sisters, I'm thinking of, Catholic nuns charities. I'm like, what, the sisters, what? And she's like, no, the Watts sisters, they go to all these comedy shows. You need to meet them. You should interview them. And I said, okay. And then within, I think, the day or a couple of days, that festival, I met you guys.
Right, I think at the Velve, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just came over and was like, I've heard about y'all. This is awkward, but hi. So, before we even get into how y'all got this amazing reputation,
okay.
Let's talk about... One more question. I'll start with you now, Bethany.
Okay.
What's your first comedic memory?
Oh, gosh. That's tough because I, for so long, as we were growing up, it was all on television.
Uh-huh.
So I think, if I really did think about it, probably David Letterman.
Okay.
My mom was a huge David Letterman fan. And so that's, we grew up in this time period of, no Netflix. And so mm-hmm. it was like you had to watch people on David Letterman or Carson or HBO comedy half hours mm-hmm. and, or HBO specials. And so I think my first memory would be that, but then, just all the different specials that would come out and getting to see just some really funny comedy. Live, we definitely have a whole different scenario that I can tell you about later, but
okay.
But yeah, I said first memory would just have to be all the different comedians and just watching David Letterman do what he did on TV.
Okay.
Because we're sisters and we grew up the same way, it's kind of the same thing. I mean,
right.
we did SNL and watched SNL and everything too, but really it was the late night shows that my parents were watching that we would get exposed to with mm-hmm. the comedians and everything.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much kind of how we started. And our parents it was never really a thing that they were interested in, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And so we just kind of found it on our own. Yeah.
Huh.
My mom was really strict about watching television and, school week is for school and no TV and all that. And so it was this kind of game we would play. Like, how many shows can we sneak? And can we try and sneak and watch the Janine Garofalo special on HBO for the 14th time? Or, you know, can we try and watch Eddie Murphy Raw, like, you know, and not see, or Delirious, and not have, you know, my parents find out, those kind of things.
Yeah.
My parents really were, though, open to allowing us to see a ton of movies that were comedies. And so we also grew up on like Spaceballs and a lot of movies, Three Amigos and those kind of right. things. But when it came to comedy specials, we just kind of found them on our own and would have to sneak them a little bit because my parents were pretty, I would say, strict in kind of what we had access to and that type of thing.
Yeah.
And so we were lucky enough to have like a little upstairs area with a TV that if you turned it down really low and sat really close, you could listen to all these really great comedy specials that, you know, we just weren't allowed to watch normally.
So as sisters, do you feel like, and I don't know which one of you is older.
Me, Bethany.
Okay. Do you feel like one of you influenced the other into this world, or did it just kind of happen?
I think it kind of happened naturally. I think, you know, in kind of our most recent version of this world, the stand-up stuff, I think that we live together. So that's another thing. We bought a house and it works out for us. And so, I think because we're so close, when one of us was interested, it just was natural that the other person was there too. So we are kind of our partner in going to these comedy things. And it just worked out that we both were lucky to enjoy it the same, you know, and that this is kind of our thing that we found.
Well, and the thing that's interesting is that we did get to a point where we've seen live comedy more kind of recently, within the last 4 or so years. Mm-hmm. Pardon me. And so, I mean, Leslie and I both, our thing when we were in our 20s were, it was music. I mean, we were out. I mean, I think Leslie probably saw, if you were a band that traveled through San Antonio in like the 90s, Leslie saw every single show and I probably saw half of them. I mean, Smashing Pumpkins. I mean, especially, you know, early 90s,
in terms of Austin and, you know, coming here traveling to see live music. And
so that's, sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, that was our thing in the 20s. And so we, I think, worked to work on our professional lives kind of 30s. And then after we had some time to do things and got out of school and everything, we just kind of found comedy and it was the new thing for us to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you get to a certain age where being in a mosh pit is not as fun as it used to be. And so, you know, and the bruises and being battered and stuff, although
it's fun. Right.
It's, you know, fun, but it takes a lot of time to recover now at an older age. And so, you know, and comedy is, I don't know, I just don't know how we didn't go see live comedy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll kind of get to where we sort of started, which is, I mean, we were still watching tons of comedy on TV, watching roast battles and all the specials that were coming out on Netflix and all that kind of stuff. And you can tell the story.
So it was actually, I was watching Roast Battle and it was Steve Ranazzisi's Roast Battle and he just bombed up there and he stumbled over his jokes and everything on Comedy Central and the way that he handled it just endeared me to him. I mean, he was great. So it just happened to be that he was going to be at Cap City right afterwards and he was the first one we saw, and just his delivery and his authenticity and like his flow with comedy, we fell in love with it. And I think we only saw him once when he was here, but
I can vividly remember leaving Cap City, walking out of the club and turning to Leslie and going, why the hell have we not been doing this?
Right.
What is wrong with us? What? I want to be here every week and see this.
So when was that?
It was about 3 years ago, three years ago.
Okay.
When the obsession started. So,
and we had seen some people before that.
Right.
And, it had been more theater type shows. I mean, we hadn't done a lot of the club type
we had
shows
done Moon Tower before. We were doing that, but it wasn't until, you know, we were there at Cap City and I was like, oh, this is what
this, like, this intimate, small, intimate one-on-one
club. Yeah. Yes.
And I think our lives changed and stuff too. And so we had the time to do those things. So I think it was, it kind of all happened at a perfect time where I think I was done with school and you were just about to kind of get ready with school. And so we had that time to really fall in love with it and make it our passion. And so once you went back into school, we still kept up with it, you know, and we kind of had the time for it.
Well, it was one of those things where, you know, Leslie's works in medicine, she's a nurse and in IT and all sorts of stuff, and I work in education, and it was a great outlet. I mean, those are both relatively stressful jobs.
Right.
And so it became a point, and then like Leslie said, she finished her master's degree and was burnt out, and I started my master's degree like a crazy person, even though I watched her go through it, I don't know what I was thinking. And it was one of those things where you can turn your brain off and laugh in like the greatest way when you go to these shows. Mm-hmm. And then we just started becoming, I mean, I hate to use the word obsessed, but that's kind of what happened. We became more interested in not just sitting there and laughing and taking it in, but just really understanding and getting an idea of
the art form
of it. Kind of, yeah, exactly.
Yep. So was it a slow build from there, or was it just boom, we're on the deep end? And also, and I should give you time to answer that, but I also am curious, you went to see a fairly big name.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How quickly then did you dive into the local scene and start hitting up some of the smaller shows and the local shows?
Well, so we saw, so because I am who I am, I keep an Excel spreadsheet of all the shows we go to, all the comedians, all the venues, and
you and Valerie are cut from the same cloth. Let me just tell you that right now.
But I have a notebook that like I write down
and it's only like the notebook is just full of names and dates and shows.
Right. So yeah, and it's
do you give ratings as well?
No. We don't wanna, yeah, everybody, yeah, we just take it all in.
But so what, I mean, we saw Steve Ran and ZZ, and I guess I can tell you the exact date since I have my list here, but October 15th in 2016.
Okay.
And so, so we saw like Mike Birbiglia, then like later on that month, November 5th, we saw Ari Shaffir. Okay. And then after that, it was like every weekend. We were either, we were at Cap City or we were, that's when we also started looking like, okay, well, San Antonio's not a long drive and Houston and Dallas aren't that far. And so we started to look at what are these other comedians who we've always wanted to see, and let's go ahead and just, so I think from that point we were going to see shows probably 3 or 4 weekends a month, either here, and those were like bigger names.
Right.
Kind of to address the other question, I would say, I think once, I mean, it was one of those things we saw this, I felt like there was this changeover between just sitting there and laughing versus going, once we started to go to different clubs and seeing different venues and going, okay, well, I really like, you know, how this venue is, and this one is a little strange, and how does that affect everything? Is kind of when we started to say, well, we really, and also you see these amazing features and openers and hosts, and you're like, wait a minute, they're just as funny as the headliner. And so we just started, I mean, checking out when everyone was coming out and playing. And then once I finished grad school, it really allowed me the time to, and Leslie, and I was like, and Leslie was the one pushing me, like, let's go see more local. I was like, yeah, I've got this paper. I've got this, you know, I've got all these things I've got to do. And so once I kind of started to, that last 9 months of grad school when things sort of slowed down, is when I was able to go, okay, well, let's do this. And then we became crazy people. And I mean, we, depending upon the week, we're seeing 3 or 4 shows a week.
Right.
Regularly.
That's what I was going to ask. I was like, at what point did it, because y'all said every weekend, and I was like, I know y'all go now to more than that. Yes. So now we're at about 3 or 4 a week.
Probably. We're trying to slow back down just because,
I mean, there were weeks when we were doing 5 shows regularly week to week. I mean, if we had time, you know, I work, you know, we work hard during the day, and then we make sure that's kind of a good way, because we both have jobs that you can easily get sucked into staying later. And that was kind of the thing, that we have something planned and we need to get away for it, you know?
Right.
And we tried to slow down, and I've unfortunately kind of stayed at work later now because we don't have something kind of set. So when we have something set, it's something that we do together, and it's good to go out and do those. But yeah, we've slowed down a little bit.
Yeah, we went from, you know, I would say we're hitting a solid 3 or 4 shows a week. And what we've noticed is that in seeing so many local comics, we now are at a point where I can literally mouth their set with them. And so it also came to a point where we started looking for shows that weren't just stand-up. It was some of our favorite comedians from Austin doing things, I mean, like Low and Inside, and doing things that aren't just them doing their set. It's really getting an opportunity to see them on more of an impromptu kind of environment. Banter is great. And I'll say Low and Inside again because I think it's one of my favorites. But just to see these great comedians do stuff off the cuff is so much fun. So we try and look for a little some of those shows. I think that's probably why we slowed down a little bit. It's just we got to the point where I was like, we know all these sets, and although it's amazing to watch them build a set and change a joke, and I'll be like, oh my gosh, they changed the new tag.
That had a new tag,
But at the same time, it's, you know, financially and just time-wise, it's like, okay, do we want to go see Nick Saverino for the 14th time this month, or do we want to, like, take a break and maybe go to bed early tonight?
Right.
Yeah.
It makes sense, and I can relate. I'm not on that level, because I'm tired, but I see you guys around all the time, and I'm like, how do they get the energy? How do they get the energy to do it? It's amazing to me. But now, for the people listening, I need y'all to understand, they're talking about, you know, they started researching, you know, how San Antonio's not that far to drive. Dallas is pretty close, and their protractor slowly and or quickly started to expand, and they have traveled really far. So what was the first place that you guys said, we're getting a ticket to go to?
Well, I have to say that we, even before we started seeing stand-up comedy, we loved to travel.
Right.
And and I think this, once we kind of got in with the stand-up comedy and watching that and kind of really analyzing it and stuff and the crowds and things, we loved to go to different cities and kind of use that love of travel to as an excuse also to get away, see a new place, experience a city, and then go and see comedy at night.
We haven't really changed up when we're traveling outside of Texas. We haven't really changed up what we do. Okay. We're both people who, I think probably me a little more than Leslie, but if I don't have a vacation scheduled on the book somewhere, I get a little antsy. and because I love researching. And I mean, I was a social studies teacher. And so just the idea of culture and history and all that kind of stuff. And even if we're just going to, you know, somewhere, not just, but if we're going somewhere in the United States, or if we're going to Europe, or we're going to Asia or whatever, travel's been a part of, we were both born in Germany, so my travel's been a big thing in my family for a long time. We traveled all over Europe before, you know, we were three.
So let me change that question a little bit.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. Was it, hey, we've got this trip planned, why don't we see what show's going on there? Was that what happened first?
No.
Or was it, hey, this guy's going to be, or this gal's going to be in this city, let's go here?
It was, we don't have a trip planned.
Okay.
And we really are interested in going to see this show. And let's go ahead and let's go.
Do you remember what it was and where it was?
Yeah. So it's, go ahead.
No, go.
Which one were you going to
say? Well, no, I was going to say
I'm talking outside of Texas, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I think New York City, I think, did a lot of it too. But.
Well, so the first, so I think New York was, I mean, we love New York City. I mean, it's great. It's such a great place to be. And some of the best comedy ever.
You don't have to drive.
High density comedy.
Yeah. And I mean, literally when we go to New York, we just will see two or three shows a night.
Right.
I mean,
cause you can.
Yeah. If you're at the Cellar or you're at the Stand, right. Yeah. Well, the Cellar for sure. Like you've got all those three clubs right there. Excuse me. But you also, you know, with a Stand, you could go see two shows and eat amazing dinner in the middle of it. And we can't wait for the Stand to reopen, by the way. We're so excited. we're hoping that we can be there when they reopen. But but anyway, so that was one of them. The other thing is, so we, there was a show in Pittsburgh, is kind of what I was going to mention.
Yeah.
So it's not even a stand-up show necessarily, but we watched Impractical Jokers for a while. And so it was, I haven't seen it in so long. It's funny and it's super great, but they put out their tour schedule. I was like, we should go see them. And they weren't coming to Texas. And so it was one of those things with, because of our schedules, I was teaching, and I said, you know, well, it was either fall break or spring break, one mm-hmm. of the two. And I said, well, let's check their schedule and see where they're going to be. Mm-hmm. And so they just so happened to be in Pittsburgh, of all places.
And it was really about the date, because that's right. the date right. that we could get away.
Like,
and
we had a 3-day window where we could go.
And it was fall. It was October. Early October.
And it's, you know, there's some great stuff. I mean, we had never been to Pittsburgh.
I had no expectations of the city.
No.
We fell in love with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh
is beautiful.
It's beautiful.
It's so amazing.
Not what people think of as the 70s steel town.
No, not
because I have family there now. And mm-hmm. I was like, I came back for graduation. I was like, what?
Yeah. And it was fall. The reason mm-hmm. I know is because what we always do. We get there. We had we had the show that we're going to go to, but then the rest of the time we just try and experience the city. Mm-hmm. We try and find that balance between being a tourist and really experiencing things. So we're now at a point with New York. We just kind of pretend that we live there and get an Airbnb and try
right.
and just pretend like we live there. But these other places, we try and do Airbnbs just so it feels like you're more at home. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you just go and...
We did a day trip out to the Flight 93 Memorial. And
oh, wow.
And we saw all the fall colors, and it was a great trip, and it was all about history, and it brings
covered
in
covered bridges. And
yeah, and like, so there are maps that you can find covered bridges, so why would we not just take our time and, you
right,
know, go
right.
out and... use comedy as an excuse to go to the city we would never go to before
right.
and see all these things that we just don't usually experience and just get lost in a place.
So comedy has given you an excuse, a marker, a place to put a pin in a map, but to have a whole experience of travel too.
Yes.
Yes.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I bet a lot of people listening that are familiar with you guys didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So they probably just think, well, they're just going to shows.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, we, like I said, I'm a social studies teacher. So all of
right.
that travel and culture. And I think it's one of those things that we've always wanted to do. We grew up with not a whole lot of money. And so but my mom, it was really important that we went on a vacation mm-hmm. every single year. And so we would literally jump in our big blue van and we
weird
would.
Weird station wagon.
Yeah, our
yeah.
weird station wagon.
And
we would
wagon.
Hit the road. And just kind of try and get all over the country.
Yeah.
And so we've just tried to expand upon that. Now, we still love to go to other places as well outside of the country.
Yeah.
But affordability-wise, it's really easy just to be like, well, we could take a Southwest flight somewhere. And, you know, we went to Phoenix. Like you go and then you just hike. And then you go and do other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then at night, you just are at a comedy club all night. So,
mm-hmm. Is there... And this was a question that came from, I think, Valerie. Is there anything that you've seen, because you guys have experienced several other comedy scenes now
mm-hmm.
and multiple times, like multiple trips to LA, multiple trips to Denver or what have you. Is there something that these scenes are doing that you wish Austin could kind of tuck in and add to its repertoire? Repertoire. That's a hard word. That's an awkward word.
I mean, I would say, I mean, so we've been to Phoenix multiple times. We've been to Denver multiple times, LA, New York, those kind of places. But I feel like New York, I don't know how you replicate that. I don't think you can. I think there's the culture and the diversity and there's that New York sensibility. I don't think you can replicate that. And I think, I mean, Denver has got a great scene. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we were there 3 times last year. We just got obsessed. Comedy Works mm-hmm. in Denver, downtown at Larimer Square, is an amazing club.
Yeah.
One of the things Leslie and I do is whenever we are kind of one of those people who stand in line and wait to have a conversation and talk to a comedian after they're done.
Mm-hmm.
And most people want a picture or whatever. And we're like, nope, we just want to spend that 3.5 minutes that we would take to take a picture asking you some questions
right.
and talking. And what we always ask is, what are your favorite clubs around the country? Like, where are the places that you have to go? And so we now just have a list of all the clubs. And so we just try and get to all these different places. And so it's hard to say because we're typically going to cities that already have a great reputation, a club with a great reputation. We were at Comedy on State in Madison, Wisconsin, amazing club. The two sisters who run it are fantastic and were so nice to us. And so it's one of those things where, and I think they really, the two sisters and their parents have had such a great influence on comedy in that city. Cause they had two great openers, but we actually saw three shows that weekend and for two different comics were there and all their openers and features were great. Most of them from the city. And so it's hard to say.
Yeah. Because we don't go for a long period of time in the cities that we travel to. So it's really that we don't really know the scene of the city. We almost know kind of how the club comes across. And so we compare the club to, I mean, to Cap City, just because it's comparable to the clubs that we go to, and we try to learn stuff about the management of every club we go to, good or bad. Right. And we go and we travel either for a club because we want to go see a club, and we'll go at a time that they have a comedian that we love, or someone that we've heard about that we want to see, or we'll just go to a club that we haven't necessarily heard good things about that we don't know about just to see a comedian, but I feel like we love Cap City so much and even when we ask comedians when we're not in Austin what their favorite clubs are, people still, they still mention Cap City.
Yeah.
So it's on the top of the list every single time.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's nothing that there's nothing that we've seen that we're like, oh, Cap City doesn't do this. They need to do this. Or the clubs here don't do this.
Right, I think the local scene is missing there. I haven't seen anything. Part of it is that I wish that, I think we've seen some great crowds, but then we've seen some really bad crowds, all from Austin. And so I feel like, it's one of those things where I wish some of the smaller venues and some of the smaller shows had the draw because we have some amazing comedians here in town.
And we have some great crowds too. I mean, some of the shows we've been to and some of the comedians say that there are just intelligent crowds here.
Yeah.
But we wish that
they would go see more local comedians because we've been to shows in bars where there are three people there to watch them. And I'm like, these are amazing. I mean, I
know. You're getting a huge show and the fact that there's no crowd affects that.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to mention something just really quickly. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
No.
Because I love kind of, that's the way we look at comedy is we come at comedy from more of an anthropological standpoint.
Right. And I was going to bring that up.
We'll go ahead.
No, go for it.
So that's kind of what we look at as comedy anthropology. And I first have to give credit to the people who gave us that name and kind of gave us that information. We went to Houston, the Come and Take It Comedy Festival, which we loved. We got lucky. We had met the Sklar brothers a couple times. They happened to be one of the headlining acts at the show, and we just stood around and got to talk to them. And so they interviewed us and asked some questions. And I think it was Jason who just said, it's like comedy anthropology. And it's true. It's what, cause we don't just look at comedy. And like I said, we love to laugh and it's so much fun. And, but there's more, it's the crowd, it's the club, it's everything or the venue, it's everything put together. It's the city.
It's the day. Is it a Friday late show or is it a Saturday early? What, you know,
And so
there's a lot of moving parts.
Oh, exactly. And so I think that's what we have kind of become infatuated with is that it's not a simple, I know this is a quality joke, I'm going to tell it, it's going to get a laugh, and then I'll move on. It changes every single time.
Right. What happened in the news that day?
Right.
What happened? Yeah. The election, I don't know if y'all were at Cap City for the punch that they did on election night.
No.
I have never seen
a show implode faster.
Oh my goodness.
And it was no one's fault. Like the comedians, the crowd, everyone just went,
yeah,
let's go home.
Yeah,
you know, like, oh, it went from a great comedy show to like a wake in seconds.
Right.
And it was just kind of like, oh wow. But it was, there was something interesting and beautiful about having been there.
Right.
I wouldn't have wanted to be anywhere else. Mm-hmm. It may have not felt like the appropriate place to be or the way to end a comedy show, but I wouldn't have wanted to be anywhere else.
Right.
It felt that connectivity that you get in a crowd from a comedy show, whether it be for good or bad, we were there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's that kind of thing.
Yeah. That... Well, it reminds me, there's a story, and I can't remember who told it, because I listened to far too many podcasts.
It was
the day, I think the Comedy Store closed down on 9/11. Yeah. And then they had so many people calling because they were going to close it down for longer, I think. And somebody, one of the comedians was talking about how there were so many people calling, wanting to be there to laugh and experience something because of the trauma that had happened to the country. And I think that's so, like, it's so interesting to me. It's like, I would have loved to have been able to see some of those sets just to see how that affected everything. But I think it's also just speaks to how important, you know, I try not to say like the craft or the art or whatever comedy, but it really is what it is. And it's, you know, you can, just because someone has written a funny joke doesn't mean everybody can do it well.
Right.
And so, so I just think it's so important, like I said, just that everything that encompasses, that environment, that world of comedy and how it can affect, I mean, so I'm going to tell a story. And so sorry to this comic, but, Mark Normand is, I love Mark Normand and Leslie and I do. And we saw him at a club and we've seen him tons of times. We'd seen him in New York. We'd seen him in Austin. And we saw him at a club that I will not mention. And he just died. He died on stage. And it was a
Sunday night. Okay.
Sunday night crowd on a 4-day weekend. So Monday was a holiday. Uh-huh. It was, there were 40 people in this enormous, enormous cave of a space. And
they couldn't section off. So they couldn't, right. They didn't have,
it wasn't sectioned.
Curtains. They couldn't make it seem smaller. It was just this cavernous room. Two-story. It looked like, it felt like an airplane hangar.
It was.
And so 40 people in the right kind of room looks great.
It felt more like someone was auditioning than it was actually performing.
Well, absolutely.
And then on top of it all,
of those 40 people,
two tables, one of them was a birthday party and one of them was a bachelorette party. And both tables of people were drunk out of their minds.
Yeah.
The bachelorette fell on the floor at one point. And was like heckling Mark. I just felt
you're describing every comic's nightmare.
Oh, yeah. It was the worst. And the thing is we had seen him enough to see him on stage and go,
and know his jokes.
I mean, he's a great comic and those are great jokes. And he's dying on stage because this room and these people and it's a Sunday, like all the stuff. And so it just spoke to you can be a great comic and just still eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's kind of fun. It's so fun too to watch that. Like I love those shows. We love those shows just as much as shows that go great and it's so smooth.
More.
I mean, and it's all about how the comedian handles it. And I know it's so much work for them, and I don't ever wish that on anybody. But if it has to happen, I'd love to be there to watch it.
Do you ever? And I do this sometimes as an audience member. When you know it's the crowd and not the comic, do you ever find yourself trying to kind of prime the crowd a little bit?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Because you know you're getting a good show.
Yeah, right.
I don't know what's up all your asses right now, I don't know how to pull it out, but I'm going to do my best to get this infectious laughter going.
Right.
Okay, good.
But it doesn't always work.
It doesn't always work.
Because when you got somebody
then it
on the
feels
floor,
awkward. Yeah.
But you got a drunk person on the floor. The guy, I don't know if like the birthday party, if people kidnapped him and forced him to go there.
I think he had his arms crossed the whole time.
Yeah, and like Mark was trying to talk to him and make jokes and he was so nice to him. And the guy was just like, leave me alone. Jeez. And so it seriously was just a train wreck on every level. And again, you have this amazing comic who you just have to go like, and there's nothing that any of us who were fans of his could do to help it. It was just so bad. Literally, you know, like I said, people on the floor drunk and you just want to just walk up to the comic afterward and say, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like
I promise.
This is
like,
not your fault.
Yeah. It was not in Austin. And so it was one of those things where I was, you know, come to Austin. Come to Gap City.
Furthest place y'all have gone so far?
For comedy?
Yeah.
Iceland.
Or used comedy as an excuse to go there.
Right.
Yes, Iceland.
Always wanted to go to Iceland.
Was that Ari Shaffir?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So we were, I feel like I'm talking, I'm the extrovert, Leslie's the introvert.
Okay.
For sure. And so I will just keep talking and so interrupt when you need to, Leslie, sorry. But we were really lucky. We were in New York. I feel like that's the key. Like, we're luck, maybe that's not the right word, but we've been so fortunate. We happened to be in New York. So first, we're fans of Ari Shaffir. We've mm-hmm. loved his podcast and his
because
comedy.
Because of his travel, because of his, right, his kind of philosophy on life. And we both don't have kids, and we love that we can just drop everything and in 5 days decide to take a trip somewhere. I mean,
right.
And so these are things that we're fortunate to be able to do. And so we like that we kind of take more from just his comedy, kind of his
philosophy on travel.
Getaway and travel type thing, yeah.
So We were fortunate enough to be in New York when he came back from his kind of walkabout in Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. And so he came back and was doing jokes on Southeast Asia. And I think literally on stage at the Stand announced that he was going to start doing material about growing up Orthodox Jew. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, that's going to be really interesting. And so we had all these things. And so we would see him do, 8 minutes or 12 minutes or whatever in New York on at the Stand or the Cellar or wherever. And then the next time we went back, I think we went back that next summer for Skankfest, and, which is such a fun festival, by the way. If you love those New York comics mm-hmm. and you love that scene, it's a bunch of crazy,
lovable degenerates
yeah. is definitely what it is. It's such a great community. But anyway, Ari performed, and we saw some more of his jokes, and we kind of got to see. And then so whenever we go to New York, we do try and be there for a week or more. And so we went to Skankfest, and then we were in the city for the next 8 or 9 days. And so we just saw him all around town and saw him just kind of working out. They literally notebook in hand, doing these jokes, going, oh, that didn't work. Or, tweaking mm-hmm. things on stage, which we love.
I love watching him.
It's so great.
And then also seeing, and not just him, but other comedians. That's one of the things we love about New York is, let's say Lenny Marcus. We saw him at one of the more touristy type clubs. And then we go and see, and the jokes didn't hit. They weren't, it was the first time we had seen him, and I kind of, we knew he was great, but kind of left not with the best experience, okay. But we actually knew that we were seeing him later on that night at the Village mm-hmm. Underground. And so we saw him with a better crowd and a different club and just being able to see him. So it was neat to be able to see.
Same exact set.
Yeah. Yeah. The same jokes that Ari's been developing in different clubs and in front of different crowds and stuff.
Yeah. So we just started to see him build this show. So then he, on his podcast, mentioned he was going to be at the Wilbur in Boston. Mm-hmm. And the Wilbur, so Leslie and I are really fans of comedy clubs. We like clubs. We go and see
versus
shows.
Yeah,
we go and see shows at theaters. But I really prefer to go see people in clubs. it's hard. Like Bill Burr, you're not going to get lucky and see him at a comedy club usually. Some of those other people. Tom Segura, we just saw in San Antonio at the Majestic, beautiful theater, but huge. And so it's one of those things where when we talked to people in comics about the different venues and saying, well, are there any theaters you really like? Everybody said the Wilbur in Boston is great.
Okay.
And the setup is phenomenal. It's three levels. The first two levels are kind of traditional, the top two levels, rather, are pretty traditional seating. But the bottom level, it's all tables.
Okay.
And so you are sitting, it feels like a comedy club on the
right.
bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And so Leslie and I got these amazing seats to go see Ari, and Joe List opened for him, and somebody else who I can't remember.
It was more local comic. And
he was great.
Yeah. And it was just, it was a great crowd. And even though it was a theater, it was more of a kind of an intimate
crowd. Right. It
crowd
felt,
and
it didn't feel like this cavernous place. It really mm-hmm. did, because you're sitting cramped with people at tables. And
mm-hmm.
So anyway, I mean, that trip was nuts. And so he said, I loved, he was like, I think I have about, he said I have 40 minutes of material of his growing up Jewish stuff. And so we were like, well, let's go see it. We saw him kind of putting this stuff together.
It was in January in Boston, and we were out of the airport for 22 hours.
Right. We literally flew in.
Saw the show, stayed the night, got, left our hotel, and then got back on the airplane.
Left the hotel, went to a park, walked around, did some sightseeing.
Boston Commons,
and then we're like, okay, we gotta go grab our flight, and then left that next day. So
you left that next day to come back, or is that
to come back
to Iceland?
Okay. No, that's ours. We will get back to Iceland.
Gotcha.
So so that was, so we saw him there, then we saw him again. I mean, we just, I feel like we,
so oh, he then came, he came here to Austin, came to Austin, to Cap City, so we saw him kind of progress his
hour. Was
he
on a first name basis with you guys by then?
Yes, I mean, I don't know about first name basis, but I mean, he knows
like, who we are.
Right.
So we, to the point where we were both in New Orleans at one time and he saw us on Bourbon Street and recognized us. So, okay. I mean, so we're not just kind of,
we're not his friends, but no, we, yeah. because we just are in so many places. We've seen him so many times. He's like, who are those freaking giants who know us? Oh, by the way, we're both like super tall.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things that, we stand out in a crowd. We're like 6'1". So you're not going to miss us. And we often are together. And so it's kind of a little unique.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, back to all that. So we had seen him just grow this hour, mm-hmm. which actually turned into like even more than that. So he came to Austin and was at Cap in Austin. And we saw him. First of all, I have to say, we went to see him twice. The reason we went to see him twice actually wasn't to see him, because at that point we knew all of his jokes and we had seen it. did we see him at Cap before or after? I can't remember. I think it was before Iceland. Adrian Appalucci was his opener. He brought her from New York. And if you haven't seen her, she's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Dark, 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 which is the comedy we like.
Great.
But she's so amazing. Just one of the best that I just love. Mm-hmm. I think she was probably, excuse me, the best feature I've ever seen. Like, she just killed, to the point where I was like, I know Ari's hour. And I want to come back to see her do this again.
Oh, wow.
And so anyway, so we saw him and then we had already booked our Iceland trip before Ari was coming to Austin.
So actually this is kind of a funny story. So we were down for Moon Tower, or we were at Moon Tower, mm-hmm. and it was during that time that he announced his European dates.
Oh, yeah.
mm-hmm. And so we looked through it and just, it was one of those things that, where is the place that we want to go that we've always wanted to go. And what's a time that works for us? And so we just kind of picked which one of his shows we would go travel right. to, and Iceland won out.
Well, and so I also mm-hmm. have to say, whenever we go to festivals and we try and get to as many as we can, it's kind of like being on a high a little bit. You get into yes. this magical yes. world. And so all of a sudden, looking at each other going, we should go to Iceland to go see Ari. Doesn't sound crazy.
Yes, until but right you now, then, talking about
until it. You
right,
come until down you come and you're down like, and you're what like, what did the we heck? Just?
I know. Right, what is wrong with us?
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, I've always wanted to go to Iceland. We wanted to see the Northern Lights.
Uh-huh.
He was performing in November and I was like, okay, this is going to work. Like this, mm-hmm. we should just go. And so we spent 7 days in Iceland, and one of them was seeing Ari. It was the road trip
that we took through Iceland, like right. the two of us in a car, and
we rented a car.
Yeah, it was just a great experience, and we used comedy to
justify getting us there.
Yeah,
but you know, we got to go into an ice cave, and we got to go hiking.
God.
And we went into all this really amazing stuff. We spent 2 days in the south, 2 days kind of central, 2 days in Reykjavik, and we got to go to the, like, it's the only comedy club in Iceland. I mean, there are only like 300 and something thousand people in the whole country, but in Reykjavik there's like one club that's designated to stand-up comedy. That's it.
And they do it every night.
Shows in English. And we just kind of, we went, there were two shows that night. So we just sat there all night and listened to these amazing, I mean, I was kind of not expecting great comedy, if I'm being honest. But these really legitimately funny wow. comics from mm-hmm. Iceland. And then met one of them, and he was like, oh, well, I happen to be the manager of the club, and here's the other manager. And then all of a sudden, the owner comes down, and
it's after hours,
and we're hanging out with him and talking.
Because they had just opened their place, and, you know, right. had us in talking about different clubs. Because one of them had lived in the U.S., but right. I think the other three were just Icelandic. And,
yeah.
and so they talked about, you know, how does this compare to other clubs and stuff like, you know. And it was neat.
It was neat
to just be able to talk to them about and hearing them talk through their thought process about the decisions they made when they opened that club,
right.
mm-hmm.
and what works for that area and that group of people and stuff. So,
well, yeah. and it was so interesting. So that was that the two nights in Reykjavik, that was the first night. The second night was going to see Ari, and it was the worst weather ever. And like the whole trip, and it was pouring rain. The wind was just whipping off the ocean.
Yeah.
And I got the times mixed up. We show up to the show too early. And they're like, yeah, you're here pretty early. And I was like, dang it, I don't want to be the dumb American. And so Les and I decide to go to dinner, and then I'm the one with a GPS, and I walk us in the wrong direction. We're soaked.
Comedy We're just of like, errors. Oh,
yeah, it was but just, it's just
this... But it was like this great experience.
Yeah.
We ate this amazing meal, and then we got to go see Ari do this hour in front of... And it was the... he started his European tour in Iceland, so it was his first tour, our first date in Europe. And it was so interesting to see, like, did he change things for this crowd? And, you know, and it's different than being in a club. And, mm-hmm. and, like, what did he change? And what did he choose not to change?
And what is he catching himself while he's telling the yes. set? Like, oh, yeah, you guys don't get that one, you know? Or, yeah. oh, I maybe need to say it this way, you right. know? And actually catching himself in right. the crowd and making comments. So that was neat to kind of hear his thought
Watch
process.
The process. Right.
Yes, of how maybe he needs to think or, you know, oh, I... I know he even mentioned how he needed to change some things,
right.
you know, on his podcast and stuff. So it was just him realizing that in the moment. It right. was neat.
But it's, yeah, it's one of those things where there are so many comics we could have done this with mm-hmm. and then and followed them. And we just got fortunate enough to see him start this hour and kind of get to the point where he's now ending the hour and kind of, I think, probably going to, you know, record it and all that stuff. But it's just been great to see someone build an hour from our perspective
yeah.
and see what's changed and what's been tweaked and all that kind of stuff. And it's hopefully he doesn't think we're weirdo stalkers because
we saw him at Skankfest before. We were like, just to let you know, we are going to be at your show in Iceland and we're not weird.
And I promise that time, we're not going to like,
he knew of us. Yeah. And yeah.
I'm like, so, we're not going to cut your skin yeah. off. And
he hadn't bumped into you at like, you know, his local sandwich right, shop.
Yeah, no,
so
exactly.
he knew yeah, like yeah. you're not.
No, I don't know where he lives. I don't know.
yeah.
Like, she, why are you winking like at me?
No. No,
so I'm going to bring us back to Austin yes, for a minute.
Okay.
No, you. I have a question for y'all.
Okay.
So you've been to several festivals now. Mm-hmm. You've got several under your belt. How is Moon Tower ranking up against?
It's another one that we compare all of them to.
Because I know exactly. what the comedians typically say about it. I'm curious from the fandom perspective.
I think that as much as they take care of their comedians, they take care of their fans too.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a place where, even just the badge structure alone and how that kind of, or the ticket structure, how you get into the shows and that kind of thing, I think sets it up for especially mm-hmm. our type of
right.
fandom, I guess, and kind of our interest in... It's something that, again, it's kind of the gold standard as far as we're concerned. And it's one that we saw first, but even seeing all these other ones, we have found that it's great for what we love.
Right.
Yeah.
We've done Moon Tower so many times at this point. But we started going without buying a badge and just buying tickets to one-off right. shows and going, well, we'll do this. And then after the first year of doing that, we started getting the badges. And now we're at the point where we stay downtown at a hotel mm-hmm. and we kind of at the, you
really
know,
immerse ourselves
right now.
Right.
But it's one of those things where, and it's hard because we've gotten to know the people who work Moon Tower and run right. it and all that kind of stuff. So it's hard. I don't want to sound like we're being inauthentic, but we've been to enough festivals where mm-hmm. I'm just surprised at, their lack of structure or whatever yeah. it is. And I feel like Moon Tower, like Leslie said, the badge system works so well for us. I'm surprised that there are other festivals that have no badges. You just have to buy individual tickets right. for things. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, ugh,
I'm surprised
out.
And I'm not. And I'll tell you why. So I'll say this knowing what I know about Moon Tower. It is amazing that they managed to get it so tight mm-hmm. so quickly to be such a young festival.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But from yeah. interviewing Litsa, we learned that a lot of that had to do with Colleen.
Oh, yeah.
And Colleen has such experience growing up around the scene and growing up around Montreal.
Oh, yes.
Which is the standard.
Right.
That, you know, the only thing that possibly ranks it is Fringe. Which
right,
that's
yes.
just a totally
right.
different animal.
Yes,
we can't talk about
sure.
Fringe. That's a no. month.
Yes.
You can't compare right. a week to a month.
I know.
So
when you mentioned Montreal, so Les and I got to go to Montreal for JFL the first time this year,
mm-hmm.
and it was fantastic. It was.
And you mentioned
so
Colleen.
Great.
We have to thank her completely. She has.
Oh yeah.
She was fantastic. I mean, she
was so nice to us, mm-hmm. and like, we couldn't have seen as many shows. I mean, it just was great. And
just let me say, anyone who's listening that doesn't know who we're talking about Colleen McGarr.
Yes.
She is one of the co-owners she is one of the co-owners of Cap City Comedy Club here in Austin, and she has been in and around the industry for decades.
Yes.
So, go ahead. Sorry.
So she, but the thing is that as much, and I'm telling you, I have almost all positive things about to say about JFL, and we saw so many comedians and met so many great people and comedians and all this stuff, and the shows were so fun. And but I will say it's definitely an industry, it's an industry driven festival.
Absolutely.
And so as someone who didn't have an industry badge,
and we're not in the industry, we're just these weirdos who love comedy,
but it just felt like it was a struggle to get into all the shows we wanted to get into. And and there are so many people. I mean, that city, but it's like a 6-block by 6-block, I don't know, radius, whatever it is. Like it's, I mean, it's spread out, but it just feels like there are so many people and it's so difficult to get into shows.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just something great about, I think that's maybe what it is also, that Moon Tower is a really well-run, well-organized festival, but at the same time, it still feels a little like old Austin.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's really fan and comedian-centered, and yeah, there are industry people there. We saw them, and we met some of them and all that kind of stuff, but it was like, they just were a little, you know, just everything was more casual, and
I think that everyone converges on Austin for Moon Tower treats it like a playground or camp.
Yes.
You know,
The comedians say that all the time.
Yeah, comedy camp.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even the industry people that show up for Moon Tower, I think more or less show up to have fun.
Yes.
And not work.
It is fun. It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And it's why we now stay downtown.
Yeah.
We get a hotel room, you know, excuse me, wherever the comedians are, we get that hotel. And we stay there. We get in on Thursday and we stay through Sunday. And it's just, it's a little oasis of comedy.
Yeah.
And the thing is that, and it was this way with JFL because we stayed in the hotel at JFL as well. But there's something really nuts about like getting into an elevator and you're like, that's like this amazing comedian.
Mm-hmm.
At JFL, it happened, I mean, all the time, which was weird. It was like, I think 3 different times I got into an elevator and Chris D'Elia was right there. And I was like, you're Chris D'Elia. Like, it's just the weird, like, you just are seeing people, but it happens. You're walking down the street and you just are seeing all these amazing comedians down on Congress here in Austin at Moon Tower.
Mm-hmm.
And, we can't say enough great stuff about it. It's wonderful. And we got to go to All Things Comedy Festival in Phoenix this year. That comedy festival is weird. And the way it's organized.
I think that one's only for comedians and not for
I
anybody
feel like
else.
That one's,
I think it's
just
the comedians. It's an excuse for them to get to drive from LA, or I'm sure some of them fly. Bill Burr probably takes his helicopter. But so they all get over to LA some way or another. And then they just have so much fun there because there's no badge structure. I mean, they have this amazing kind of outdoor
space
that you could do so much stuff with, but they aren't quite there because that's not their focus yet because they're so new. But it was such a great time, and
we'll go back every year.
Every year.
But the structure, like, it
doesn't
have...
So we're good.
We're good.
Okay.
But it's strange to me because there are no badges, like Leslie said.
It's the one-off ticket thing.
It's one-off tickets, but then all of a sudden they have all this free stuff also. All their podcasts were free.
It sounds like some comedians in a commune got together and
made
this.
Exactly what it is. Yeah. I feel like, I mean, I think Bill Burr and his think tank of, like, you know, Bert Kreischer and Al Madrigal, and all those people just were like, let's go party for like a weekend.
Yeah,
and again,
it's like a Burning Man of comedy.
It is, but it's and they have like this. The club that's there is the club is half of it. Then there's this huge bar on the other half. And they actually have decent food. And so it was fun and weird and
lacking
structure.
Yeah. And it's not a destination festival. I hope to say yet, because for most people, I think that if you happen to live in Phoenix and you happen to know about it, then you would see it. But I think we're one of the few weirdos that
snuck in
on
the ground floor.
We literally flew in. And it only started, it's the second year this year. And so it's new. It's brand new.
Yeah.
But it's something that I mean,
It was really fun. Yeah, just because it was so fun to watch the community, you know, to be in this place where, again, it's one of those things where the comedians are accessible, and a lot of them are comedy fans too, and they love to kind of nerd out about comedy. So that's fun to have that interaction with them too.
Right.
So now I have to throw in a little controversy.
Uh-oh.
Is there any comedian that y'all, well, comedians where y'all just don't agree? Like, one of you's, like, so into it, and the other's like, meh, or vice versa. And you don't have to name names.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious, as in sync as y'all tend to be, and as much as y'all do together and see together, are there places where one of you is like, nah, that's just not my thing, and the other one is, or vice versa?
I don't think there are any comedians that we don't, I mean, that we disagree on. I mean, right. I know that we will leave a show and sometimes one of us will have a different opinion for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we just really appreciate authenticity in comedians and kind of their approach on things. And so if they're not kind of doing those hacky things and it's more for an audience who is not intellectual, because that's not what I'm looking for, but kind of more savvy, comedy savvy, I think, or, you know, they're not trying to
like, there's that base comedy that you see sometimes where it's always like, oh, it's another Trump joke. Okay. You know, or it's a, and I think kind of go to your question though, I would also say we probably have we grew up in the same household and all that stuff. So we have we're very similar in who we enjoy. Although the reality is Leslie and I are so drastically different as people.
Mm-hmm.
And, which you wouldn't think by looking at us, cause we look very similar and we're the same height and we're like all that stuff. But, I'm surprised that we don't have more comedians that we disagree on. But I think the thing is, like Leslie said, is that we have a style of comedy that we prefer, a couple of styles of comedy we prefer, but we respect and enjoy, like Leslie said, any comedian who's just coming from a real authentic place and telling, being truthful and honest and can make that funny.
Right.
It's just, I think maybe in the beginning it was a little different, but now because of the way we analyze and we look at everything else, it's pretty close on what we like and don't like. And then we don't even not like that many things, because like Leslie said, even if it goes terrible, we love it. We see comedians we don't enjoy.
Oh yeah, there are definitely some where we think it's more of a kind of, yeah, there's some that we don't enjoy.
Yeah, we had a comedian go like, so you guys are always talking about all this great stuff that you do. Is there anybody you don't like? I'm like, oh yeah, no, there are people we have not enjoyed. But
we also keep that to ourselves.
Oh yeah. but it's one of those things where we've also had people we didn't like, and then all of a sudden now we love them. So it's, I think it just, it changes. And
and they change.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
Is there a club, and you don't have to name it either, that you've gone, we're never going back there?
Not never, because if there's a comedian there that we'll go see.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a club that we'll never go see?
That we'll never go back to? I don't think so. Because the thing is that you, like Leslie, like we've said, I don't want to like repeat ourselves too much, but you learn so much from a bad, like a show that goes bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are a couple of clubs. I mean, I think it's, we're now at a point where we walk in and go and we look at, we try and get there a little early and look at how are things set up and how are the seat? What's the seating arrangement?
She loves to count chairs. I mean,
I draw out the clubs when I go for the first time and see how many chairs there are and how many seats and what, you know, all that stuff.
And y'all prefer back of room, right?
Yes,
because y'all like to watch the whole crowd. Thing.
Yeah. Yes, I want to see the crowd, and we learned that pretty quickly. We used to sit in the front and the front-ish areas, and then
there are some comedians who
just can't sit in the front row for. We love Big J. Okerson and made the big, big mistake the second or third year that we were at Moon Tower. And Leslie's like, let's sit in the front row. And I was like,
I don't know why I did that.
I don't like front row. And I'm like, you are not a front row sitter.
No.
And I said, fine, but here's the deal. If he asks us any questions, or because he's a crowd work comic. So if he asks us any questions, you're answering everything. She goes, okay, no problem.
Sure.
And so he comes to us and asks us a question. I look at Les and she goes, nope, I'm not saying anything. She turns away. So here I am having to respond to one of the, like, you know.
It almost seems premeditated, but I swear it wasn't.
And so I'm like having to answer, you know, I love Big J and I love his comedy, but just questions I was not really to
course.
Answer.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. He's not going to ask you what your favorite color is. No, he's going to ask you something real personal.
Do you know, And so I was mortified and was like, oh, that's the last time I'm sitting in the front couple rows. And then made the mistake at Skankfest this year where I'm telling the story. For those of you who are listening, Leslie just gave me a signal of like, do not tell the story. I'm still going to tell it. Because it's hilarious.
Yes.
We were at Skankfest. So first I will say, Leslie was sick.
Have been crossed. For those of you who are listening.
No, Leslie was sick. She got a cold as soon as we got to New York City.
Yes.
And so she took some cold medicine.
And it's Skankfest, so I had a few drinks.
And she had a few drinks. And I guess it wasn't thinking about the mix of those two things.
Ooh.
And so we go to see a show with Robert Kelly.
Rich Voss.
Rich Voss is hosting. Robert Kelly goes up. And then
Dan Soder.
Dan Soder, who we also love. Like, we love all three of them.
Love Dan Soder.
Dan Soder is the best. Yeah, we've met him in like a couple times. And he doesn't know who we are or anything. He does now. Because we're sitting, so our friends were there and had front row seats and were like, come sit with us. And I was like, we don't sit in the front row. And they were so nice. And two people we met through comedy at different festivals. And they're like, no. And she and her husband gave us these great seats and literally front row, center. And I'm like, this is bad. I don't want to sit here. This is terrible. And Lois is like, it's fine. So we sit there and, you know, and, Rich Voss goes up and he does his opening stuff and it's so funny. And then Bobby Kelly goes up and he leaves and Dan Soder comes up and Leslie falls asleep.
So tired.
Leslie full on falls asleep. But here's the best part is that
smartphones.
Robert Kelly, I see him. Like something catches my eye and Robert Kelly has taken his phone and is sticking it out of the back room area and is recording my sister asleep at Dan Soder's set. And so then I was like, wake up. I was like, Robert Kelly is recording you. This is so really embarrassing. Tried. Wake up. And she was just like the mix of the cold medication. And
it was more than cold.
And a Tito's and Crayon didn't go so well. And she's sick and not sleeping enough because, you know, Skankfest is going until 3 a.m. every night or something.
Excuses.
And we probably hadn't eaten. Like, it was a whole mix of things, but it was like this perfect storm and she fell asleep. And so... luckily, I don't think Dan noticed. He goes to leave the stage, and Robert Kelly runs on stage. So now it's like Robert Kelly and Rich Voss and Dan Soder and my sister and
I wanted to hide
6 feet away from them. And they were like, hey, your set was so great. This lady right here fell asleep, and he's recording it to the point where then... And then Robert Kelly posts it on his Instagram.
Oh, no.
And so posts that was... her falling asleep on Instagram.
Yes.
And but then...
So, and I apparently was famous because we walked into the Fat Black Pussycat the next night or the two nights after.
2 or 3 nights later.
And I was just mortified. I mean, whatever. Things happen. Whatever. Like, I have to be okay with it. But, and then some guy in the audience, as we're being sad, he's like, oh, you're the one who fell asleep.
And Dan says,
just
have to embrace it. I'm the sleeping girl. Yeah.
And then we get home, I think. Or no, it was that. We were still in New York and we start getting text messages about how they're playing
they're talking about it on Bonfire.
Yeah,
that was great.
And so Dan was the co-host of Bonfire with Big J. And I don't know if Rich or Robert Kelly were the guests that night, but they bring out the video. And I was like, Leslie.
I can't even listen to that. I haven't even listened.
No,
I can't. But yeah.
It was so funny. So
cut to later the next month, I guess, we're in Montreal and Bobby Kelly's there. And so, of course, we talk to him and see him and stuff. And I, you know.
Promise to not fall asleep.
Yeah. And we do another little quick video. And of course, you just make a joke out of it because I can't take it back. You know, I screwed up and whatever.
You know, sometimes you just have to embrace those things and roll with it. Wait, the next time you see Dan Soder's show, you just need to sit in the front row and just like hold up some notos shake them.
I think I already have a plan. I think this is going to come out probably after. I don't know when this is coming out, but actually
We'll see.
Three days ago, Leslie and I, so we have another friend we met through different comedy festivals mm-hmm. and stuff. And she texted us and she's like, hey, the Impractical Jokers do a cruise every year and there are a ton of amazing comics who mm-hmm. go on the cruise. Mm-hmm. So we went last year. It was a lot of fun. And we basically just sat and saw all the other shows with all these amazing comics. And we had decided not to go this year. Well, our friend texted us and she was like, can't wait to see you guys on the cruise. And we're like, oh, we're not going this year. And so out of all the stuff that happened within a 24-hour period, Leslie and I are like, oh, forget it. Let's go. So we nice. Booked the cruise. So we're sharing a room with our friend Helen. We're heading to Tampa to leave on this cruise on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So we booked it Friday. Mm-hmm. We leave on Tuesday.
Yeah. We booked it yesterday.
Yes. And yeah. we are leaving to go.
But like Bobby Kelly's there.
Dan Soder, Big J.
I mean, it's a great, they put together. Nate Bargatze's there.
It's a festival on a cruise ship. So yes.
Nice.
The cruise ship aspect isn't the greatest, but
in majority of the people nice. Who are there are maybe not, they are there for a different reason than we're there for. You know, they love those four guys. Those four guys are amazing. The Impractical Jokers. But
we go to see the other.
Their scope is a little yes. bit narrower.
Yes. And because of their, Sal's love of stand-up comedy and now mm-hmm. him doing stand-up comedy, he pulls all these great comedians. Yeah. And so if it's a floating city for 4 days with great comedians. And so we would do it in New York. Why wouldn't we go and do it on a ship?
Right.
Yeah. You know?
So I think what I'm going to try and do is talk Leslie into, we'll sneak in a blanket and a pillow and some other things. And so as soon as Dan goes up to do his set, I'm just going to we'll find a good seat in the front row and then she'll just pull her blanket over, maybe get her a kerchief to put on her head or something. And then have her take a little nap in the middle of his set again.
Period. We'll see.
Little snooze.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Have I not covered...
We can't end on that embarrassing story of me.
Oh,
of
yes,
mine.
We can. I'm going to edit it and put it at the end. No, I'm kidding.
Maybe the beginning and the end,
and
just
the
to
end,
make me
just
live
all over
again.
The place. And post the video.
There you go.
So how do y'all maintain the energy to do all of this? I think we've talked about this off mic a little bit.
Right.
But do y'all take little breaks?
We haven't.
I mean, we definitely, it ebbs and flows. Like, we definitely kind of hit it harder, and then we don't. And then we had that trip in November, and then we didn't have another one planned in until March. But I think we kind of get busy in our jobs, and we work a whole lot. And so that is our relaxation, kind of. Because when we go and we travel, it's not, we go to shows at night, but I will just, in New York, we'll just walk from park to park. So mm-hmm. it's a day of walking around the city and just kind of exploring. So it's not really, we're not exerting ourselves. Right. Like we're not going and skydiving and doing all these crazy things. And it's not, we're not adrenaline junkies. And so we kind of just experience a little bit of the city while we're there.
Okay. Yeah.
And we don't even do too many touristy things anymore. I mean, like New York, we don't have to because we've been there so many times. But, we will, we'll try and do a couple of those things, but I am not a morning person. So my theory is let's sleep in.
Yeah.
And so, and then pack as much as you can in the afternoon and evening, and then go see a show at night. But day to day when we're here in Austin, mm-hmm. I don't know what it is.
I think it's because it's the two of us. Even if you're a little bit tired, if the other one isn't, you're more apt to go out and do something.
One of you can rally the other.
Yeah, yes. For sure.
Yeah. And so,
but we also have a thing of if you don't want to go today, don't go. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's not we don't have to go all the time.
Right.
And so.
Have either of you, how often have one of you gone to a show without the other?
It's very rare though.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's something to be said about having that out of being like, well, you don't have to go. I'll just go by myself. Or Leslie's saying the same thing. But then the reality is once you get down to it, you're like, no, I want to go.
I don't want to miss it.
Right. I don't want to miss out on this great.
Yeah. I don't want to hear about what I didn't get to see.
Yeah. I would say in the last year, I think I've gone to see two shows that you didn't go see. Yeah. I mean, local shows.
And it might just be because of a work thing.
Yeah.
And have you gone to one without her?
Yeah, yeah. One time you had the flu, and I was going to say,
I think I've seen you at one.
Yeah, without yeah. And her. Then yeah, and if she had something to do, and when you were in school, it was grad tough. School, and, right. Yeah. And plus, I think a lot of it is our professional life. We do nothing with comedy. I mean,
right.
I'm in healthcare, and same. She's in education, and so it is kind of our escape. And like I was saying it's earlier, refreshing. It's a reason for us to leave and kind of turn off my brain. Because if I'm at home just doing things, my computer's there, I could pull it out and work, or I can kind of stress over my to-do list for the next day or think about my to-do list.
Right.
But if I go see comedy, you're in a dark room, you're kind of just handing your night over your to present. This person. Yes, yeah. to kind of take you through this thing. So it's a good way for us to relax, I think. And right. So it's not like we're ever tired out. And again, like you said, if we're tired, then we just don't go and we talk about that, you know, and we're just... Right. And the other one can go by themselves, so there isn't really that pressure.
Do your coworkers marvel at you like you have some sort of secret spy life? I know for me, yes. Just doing podcasting and going to the amount of comedy I go to, which really is nothing compared to what you guys have done, they act like I have this whole secret identity.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. Well, and I think we're not super young anymore. I mean, and so I do more now day to day than like going out and doing stuff than I did when I was way younger.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, yeah, my coworkers have always been, I think, confused maybe is also a good word. Like how do you spend 10 hours at work and then go home and then go see a show? And it's, I think it's invigorating. It's not, it, I mean, sure. Should I go to bed earlier every night? Yes, of course. But, it's invigorating is the best word for me. Like I get a high off of it. Like it's so great to go see good and even bad comedy. And so it's something that can motivate me to have a better day at work. Like if it's a bad day, I'm like, it doesn't matter. I get to go see a show tonight.
Mm-hmm. I've never gone to a show and gone home and gone, God, I wish I had just stayed home and slept. Yeah. I've never thought that.
Yeah, never.
Now the next morning I may think, boy, I probably ought to have, but I've never regretted.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, so one of the other crazy things is that I keep a calendar for us. And so I really make sure that on that calendar, it's the Google calendar, we both have it on our phones. And so I just every week or every couple of weeks check all the different clubs that we're trying to get to around the country. And check all the local, the Austin clubs, the Valve, and I don't know, all the places that are all Coal Town and
Fallout
and Spider House and all that kind of stuff. And then I also try and check all the clubs around Texas.
Can you manage my life?
And so what I do is we just have this big calendar with all the stuff on there. And so we just sit down and go, okay, what are we... We have the shows that we are trying to never miss. Mm-hmm. And then we have the other shows that are like, well, we haven't gone to, you know, Shit's Golden in a long time. Let's go see that. Or we haven't gone to something else. And so we just try and go see as many of those. And then also there's so many great comedians that the Valve bring in that I haven't heard of before. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always like trying to do some research and like then I'll connect and put like a little YouTube video on it so Leslie can watch it. But I'm super organized in that fashion. And so...
She loves lists. I love lists. I do not like lists.
Valerie.
She'll put something on a list that she's almost already done just so she can check it off a list. Which, I mean,
it feels good to put that check mark on that list. But, so I have everything. I have the spreadsheet and I have all the stuff that we do with the calendar. And so the thing is that I don't really get tired until I look back and go like, oh, we had 5 shows this week. That's why it's Sunday.
You're
and I'm like so tired. But in the moment, it's so invigorating and so much fun that it doesn't really hit me until all of a sudden I look back and go. I mean, this last week was a perfect example. We went to Punch on Tuesday. What is today? Today's Saturday. Punch on Tuesday. Thursday was Tom Segura in San Antonio. Friday was Fortune Feimster. Saturday, this was like the week before last.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I was like, the week before last. Fortune Feimster on Friday, and Saturday was
Brian Regan
here at the Moody. And so it's on Sunday, I was like, I'm so tired. And I was like, oh, that's right. That's
why
I'm
tired. So we just don't do anything on a Sunday.
Right. I mean, I'm like, oh, that's right. We drove to San Antonio and halfway through the week or part of the way through the week. And, I mean, it's in the moment, it's fun and great, wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then, you have to recover. Yeah.
Nice.
And it's one of those theories of like,
Let's do what we can and while we're having fun. And let's, you know, it's all about experience. Well, so,
and not to get like too dramatic, but my parents, like I said, my mom and dad, travel was so important to them. And so it was my mom always had a vacation planned, always had something every year. And my parents, kind of their idea was as soon as they were able to retire, they were going to travel. They were going to go back to Europe. They were going to travel all over the world. And my mom got sick. And so, so as soon as she had to retire because she got sick and then they weren't able to travel. So my mom, our mom passed away, in October. And so it was one of those things where my dad, in watching us, what we do, and my mom as well, both of them saying, do it while you can. Don't wait.
Yeah.
Don't wait and do the things you're passionate about and you love to do. And those two things are comedy and traveling. Don't wait and do it because you aren't promised the time when you're, you know, you can't plan it later on and then hope that you're healthy enough or have enough money or whatever. And they were always just like, do it now, do it while you can. And always kind of really supported that. I mean, the fact that I, on Thursday or Friday, I mean, had to talk to my dad and be like, so we just booked a trip, a 5-day trip. Can you watch the dogs and can you, you know, do all this other stuff? And so, and he was so supportive and like, good, have so much fun. And that's always kind of what both our parents did for us, which was just say, do it now while you can. Mm-hmm. If you love it, do it. And so we just kind of have taken that philosophy and gone crazy with it.
Excellent. We're going to start winding down, and so I have a closing question to ask, and I'll start with Leslie.
Okay.
One word to describe your future.
I think fun. I mean, I think that goes along with you just do what you have, what you like when you're doing it. I don't know how long this is going to last. I don't know... Very unlikely that we'll wake up tomorrow and not like to do this anymore. But if I am happy doing this as long as we can and fun, I think. Yeah.
I think I have to steal that answer because that's the thing. Is like, we just have fun.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I could come up with another answer. But as you can tell, I'm a talker, so I don't have a just one answer, one word answer. But I think, I mean, in the future, I guess if I had to choose a different word, because I think fun is the best one, but I would say, I would like pick another super easy 3-letter word, which I would love a job in this.
Yeah.
I love education. I love educating students. I'm passionate about equity and inclusion in education and all that stuff. But I think at a certain point, I now have learned so much and have an appreciation and a love for stand-up comedy that I would love to be able to do something and make some money doing it in the future. So fun, I guess, is a great one, but then also I would love to see myself doing something as a job or a, yeah.
And I think we're open for anything. In our life, I'm a firm believer that things happen for a reason and opportunities present themselves and
at the right time.
At the right time. Yeah. And so we're just open for anything, but we're having fun while we can.
Either of you ever tried stand-up? I can't believe that we've gotten through this entire interview and I haven't asked you. Is it even a desire?
It's not a desire.
For me, it's really not right now.
No, not one bit. We talked about how I was an introvert. I think if I was forced to do any type of thing on stage, I would do like the Tony Hinchcliffe, the Kill Tony 1 minute on a stage thing, but I don't even really have any interest to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
I love to sit back. That's part of why we don't sit in the front. We don't want to be part of the show. We want to observe the show.
Gotcha.
And watch it as it goes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like Leslie and I are both, we have not shown this today, but we're funny. Like, we love to joke around. We have a weird sense of humor and I think I would love to write, maybe, but I'm not good enough to do that. And I think another big thing is I really respect the heck out of what comedians do.
Right.
I wouldn't even dare to try and step into that.
I hate when people are flippant about it.
Right. It's such a big... I mean, these are people who have worked for 20, 30 years to try and get to a point where, you know, they aren't even on a big stage. They're not a Bill Burr or a Bert Kreischer or a Tom Segura.
Or they're so brand new and they're so driven that they'll get up there and just the fear that has to be going through people's bodies, you know, and their mind when they get up there like that. I don't have the drive to do that.
Right.
You know?
Right. I think you have to be passionate about it in a way where you can't do anything but that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't have, I want to be a part of the stand-up community, but in a way that's not on stage.
Same.
My passion is in the back and maybe, you know, running something
behind the scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, like I said, I just feel like in talking to as many comedians as we have, the respect I have for them and what they've had to do and what they've had to give up in their lives.
Yeah,
I mean, you talk about the sacrifice and the, you know, you hear about comedians who were, you know, living off of ramen for 4 years or five mm-hmm. years or 10 years. And, you know, that's something that is amazing to me.
Right.
And I wouldn't dare go, oh yeah, I'm going to try it. I mean, yeah. It's not, it's,
I'll get up there one time. No, that just doesn't.
I yeah. can't. Yeah, no.
Yeah. You're right. No sane person walks into a hospital and says, I've never done open heart, but it right. sure looks interesting. No, hand me that saw. Yeah. Let's see.
I've yeah. seen it on TV. Yeah. Like Grey's Anatomy. I've seen yeah. Grey's Anatomy. I could totally do that.
I go all the way back to St. Elsewhere. Let's yeah, get exactly. in here. Yeah. yeah.
It's like, no, it's something, and there are so many components that are out of your control. As someone who is a list person mm-hmm. and someone who is very organized, like the free formness, like the jazz aspect of comedy
right.
gives me too much anxiety. Like there's no way I need to control things a little right. more.
Not a crowd work person?
No.
So, okay. Where can people find you? I know y'all have a joint Twitter Yes. For your travels.
Right. Well, so we started one a long time ago, Watt Sisters Travel, just because we were traveling all the time and we're terrible. Don't even look at that one. It's like, we don't even do anything with it.
Okay.
But Watt Sisters, we have that on Twitter and on Instagram, and we try and just post when we go see shows. And, mm-hmm. Our next step, is we're hoping to maybe do a podcast.
Okay.
Just because, I don't know.
Or something.
Because so many people have said, like, why don't you do a podcast? And again, I'm like, well, because it's hard. It's not just, like, it's not easy, and it's
It adds another moving part right. to all these things you're already doing.
Yes. And then I'm also like, oh, does that mean I can't go to a show if I want to do I have to miss out on going to see a show if I... So it's all that, kind of the balance of all of that.
Right.
And so we would love to do a podcast, but we want it to be a little different. So we're kind of in the still loving...
What we're doing. Waiting for opportunity, I guess. Yeah. And also planning what we want to do and what we have time for. And
right.
It's not a chore. You know, it's a thing that we'd love to do. And so it's just kind of what comes to us.
Excellent.
Yeah. But definitely check out Watt Sisters on Instagram and Twitter. It's not very exciting other than just you can see when we're good about it, because sometimes we forget.
We're not, yeah.
But to post just kind of where we are and what we're doing and who we're going to see and all that kind of stuff.
Anything else? Any place else they should find you? Or
no,
is that it?
We have a website, but it's not even up and going yet. So
okay.
maybe yeah. next
so
time.
So as you get one, we yeah. will put that up. Yeah. We'll link to it. All right. Well, that is a wrap on Comedy Wham Presents the Watt Sisters. Little different episode, but I love it because I relate so much to this. You can find us and more interviews at comedywham.com and go find us on all the little platforms. Rate us, review us, please, because it gets more attention out there for us. This has been Comedy Wham Presents. Thanks.